be stricken from the records.
Objection sustained.
If it please the court, Your Honor, at this time I would like to introduce my three main witnesses.
Request granted. Proceed with the testimony.
And proceed we will. Coming to you from an unknown virus-free studio in the great state of Amnesia, broadcasting to South Florida audiences on our flagship station, WJNO, Legends Radio, and we would like to welcome our newest station, the Oldies Channel. You're listening to Lifestyles in the Law today. Just a friendly reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. Good day to you. I'm Alan Mason, your host and main witness number one, along with witness number two, our show producer, Rick Snyder. And you, my good friend, are the main witness, which makes you the judge's favorite. We would like to send you a pallet full of thank yous just for being with us every week. This is the place where the coolest legal minds gather for the latest legal news and time-saving tips. Along with the latest Community First information, our mission is educating those in need of legal representation with a solid base of top legal minds and law scholars. Lifestyles in the Law today conducted its own micro-survey to find out who wakes up every morning wondering which lawyer to choose if I'm involved in an accident today. Well, out of the 25 people we asked, guess how many answered yes? That's right, zero. Because the only time you need personal injury representation is after you're injured, right? So if you find yourself in need of sound legal advice, call the good folks at the Robes Law Group. They know how personal injury works and will be happy to assist you. Their mission is getting you well and putting your life back in order. The legal minds over at the Robes Law Group are so smart, they can solve six Rubik's Cubes at the same time, blindfolded. You know how that works. If you've been injured, make contact with them by dialing 561-570-5700. With offices in Delray Beach and throughout West Palm Beach County, visit them at their website at robeslawgroup.com. Coming up on today's show, Robert Martin is with us. He's a restaurant consultant and is here to explain the new normal in social distancing protocols when it comes to dining out. Get your masks on and polish up your knife and fork. That's coming right up. And in the news, Florida businesses are seeking immunity as they reopen their businesses according to federal guidelines. Details at the bottom of the hour. Then in our Corona legal segment, Jonathan Lewis has the latest business interruption news and how the coronavirus is affecting commercial operations. Corona legal coming up right after the news. And anthropophobia. In 35 minutes, we'll gather up a few friends and we'll seek the truth or find a cure. Anthropophobia, don't be afraid to look that up. Are you still telling your friends about the show? We know you are because our audience just keeps getting bigger every week, and we owe it all to you, our main witness. Thank you for inviting your friends to listen. But right now, let's take a look at all of South Florida's legal headlines brought to you by the Robes Law Group, your community-approved legal brain trust. Here with today's headlines is our consistently random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Rick Snyder.
Thank you, Alan. Hey, some Florida businesses are seeking assurances that if they reopen in accordance with state and federal guidelines, they would not be sued if patrons and workers contracted COVID-19. Among those seeking blanket immunity include operators of 3,800 Florida nursing homes. Other Florida businesses are returning to work with restrictions, but State Supreme Court Chief Justice Charles Kennedy says it's too early to predict when the Florida courts will be back in operation. A Florida traffic law that governs the visibility of license plates might be a little bit too extreme, according to 4th District Court of Appeals Judge Melanie May, who in a special concurrence urged legislators to review it. Those are the headlines from the Robes Law Group Newsroom. Alan, back to you.
When we return, why not get your very own Robes Wallet? What's a Robes Wallet? What the Robes Wallet can do for your glove box is amazing. And what it can do for you is amazing on steroids. Don't go back. We'll be right away. If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, What will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES. Text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Have you ever heard the saying, no risk, no reward? It's all about the risk, isn't it? Every time you grab your car keys, you are preparing to drive into the risk field. There are thousands of factors which determine the amount of your risk: traffic, weather conditions, distractions, or time restrictions. But there is a risk. The best part is you get to determine the degree of risk you're willing to take. But when those conditions or restrictions get the best of you, that's when your heartaches begin. That's why Robes Law Group developed a handy wallet about the size of a number 10 envelope that fits perfectly in the glove box of your car. The wallet has contact numbers, website, and texting information, plus a comprehensive list of what to do in case you are involved in an accident. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident could determine the outcome of your case. Want a free Robes wallet? Call right now, 561-570-5700, and ask Christina to send you a Robes glove box wallet, and the information within should ease the pain of an unfortunate experience. It can't hurt to have a backup of your hard drive, an extra memory stick, and a relationship with a lawyer who knows what he's doing. Looking for the best outcome? Join the list of satisfied Robes clients and call the good folks at Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700, or visit them at their website, robeslawgroup.com. Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida. All right, joining us right now is Robert Martin. He is a restaurant consultant and is here to explain how the new normal in social distancing protocols when it comes to dining out.
Well, thank you, Al, for having me on the show today. I appreciate it.
No, great. Thanks for taking your time and coming on down. How long have you been in the restaurant business?
I've been in the industry for a little over almost 15 years.
15 years? I guess you know what you're doing after that amount of time, right?
No, actually, you're still learning every day on the job. You run into new instances, new issues, especially with COVID-19 coming along, the new procedures that the CDC has handed to us to help follow this, blow down the spread.
You've worked with a lot of pretty big firms.
Yes, I've worked with Yum Brands, Bob Evans. I've worked with Firehouse Subs. So I've worked in different aspects, from quick service to full dine-in to catering, big, large events, upwards of up to almost over 1,000 people at an event.
Wow. We're trying to take a look at how the COVID virus has, and the shutdown specifically, has affected businesses. And they talk about when they reopen, you can reopen, but just at half capacity or a third capacity. I don't know what the new guideline is yet, but it changes every day. But can a restaurant make money working at half capacity?
You can make money working at half capacity, but it's very difficult for the staff. It puts a lot of stress on the management. It puts the stress on the team members. It puts the stress on everybody. And then it puts the stress back onto the guest in the dining room. Once you start stressing them, the experience becomes bad. Not only do you have the COVID-19 on top of it, but now you're making people sit every other table. You're going through all these extra steps now, day to day, to ensure the cleanliness of the restaurant. And now you're asking us to do it with half the profit.
Hmm. So you have... Are these supplies that expensive? I mean, it's just the stuff that you can't find on the shelves in the store, right? All the disinfectants and everything. Is that a big deal, or is that just negligible?
That's negligible. This disinfectant comes straight from our manufacturer. They have actually made some deals and got that stuff sent over just for restaurants to keep clean for reopen. They allow these companies to stockpile the items, so when the restaurants reopen, they can at least get them the sanitizer needed to wipe tables down, the dishes, the silverware. There are many restaurants that still do their dishes in a three-compartment sink and let them air dry on a rack. Then you have the high-end restaurants that do a high volume, and they just pump them through a dishwasher with two or three guys in the back all day and all night long.
So it comes down to a personnel thing, how much money you have to pay the staff to do the extra yes. cleaning, to do the extra work. And there's where the downfall comes, right?
Yes, that's where the downfall comes. The extra work is making sure the dish is thoroughly dry, making sure that everything is wiped down. Not now, it's just not wipe the table down. Oh, I forgot to wipe the seat, I can get it next time. It's no, you have to make sure the seat is fully wiped down. You have to make sure the menus are wiped down. You have to make sure that you're using single serve napkins.
The menus, I heard someone was considering going to disposable menus.
Yes, that is a new thing restaurants are going to start trying. Paper cost will go up, but if it works, it works. It could be a daunting task over time to constantly be wiping down the menus. That's another person that you have to have on staff, that their dedicated job is to wipe menus down all day.
Mm. And that can just tumble into an extra person here, an extra person there, and I'm only making half the money. Get it. That's tough.
And with everybody having to be 6 feet apart, yes, more restaurants are now looking into outside dining. They're looking into utilizing the sidewalk that their restaurant borders with the local county and regulations to see if it's allowed. If they can do it within their city limits and the city allows them, they're doing it. Outside dining, you can, if your capacity is 130 people and they want you at 25%, that's not many people in your restaurant.
Are you recommending to restaurants that the employees get tested every morning when they come to work, or is that just not feasible?
They are going to be testing employees, and they're not only going to be testing employees, they're going to be testing the guests as well with temperature checks, checking their temperature. Also following up, telling people flat out, if you have symptoms, if you feel sick, you're running a fever, stay home. Come in, have someone from your family that's well enough, do a carryout order. You can still enjoy our great food at home. Mm. That's what they're trying to tell us right now. Don't come out if you're sick. If you feel the symptoms, please stay home. Don't bring it here to the restaurant, because there could be 50 to 75 other people that come behind you in the next 3 to 4 hours after you visit the restaurant.
Mm. If you open too soon, no one will come to your restaurant.
Not if you open too soon. I think it has to deal with, in the long run, of what you're serving. Are you following the steps put in place by the CDC and the food safety regulations by your state and local laws? Are you being diligent and not overwhelming your staff to the point that you're giving the bad service, but then you're also missing your sanitizing and cleaning steps of the booth, of the menu, of the utensils? And, you know, making sure that the people in the back of the house, even all employees, are constantly hand washing. With all the new CDC guidelines, they are, you know, you don't want to miss that step in cleaning and making sure that you're ready for the next guest. Because the last thing that you want to do is open up too fast, and then next thing you know, you have a media disaster on your event, on your hands, inside your corporation. Then your law group will be pretty upset that you opened so fast, you missed the guidelines, you didn't follow the steps, and now your company can be ultimately held responsible for another outbreak.
Hmm. I still say, if you're sick, stay home. If you think you have the virus, stay home. If you are afraid of getting the virus, stay home. Just stay home. No one's forcing you to go out. If the restaurants are open and no one comes, well, that's on the restaurant. If someone comes and they get the virus, that's on them because they went out. I don't know how we can alter life to make it any better.
There's no way to alter life. I mean, yes, like you said, if you don't want to go, don't go. Like we say all the time, we have great carryout options. You can go home with the family and enjoy it right around the dinner table. You'll be dearly missed in our lively environment that we like to have. But it is what it is, and if you feel safer consuming our product at home, please stay home and consume the product.
How is the takeout business going? I mean, are they making enough to stay alive with it, or?
Their companies are making enough to stay alive with it, but the ones that are the only people that are now employed is now you just have managers managing the cooks, and maybe one or two people just answering the phones and helping get the food out to the cars that for the curbside carryout.
Mm. So once again, your personnel goes down.
Your personnel
and people
goes
are laid
down.
Off.
Yes, and then people are laid off, and then, you know, most companies are furloughing everybody, you know, being the proper terminology with it is furloughing them, knowing then that they will have their job to return to once we reopen to 100% capacity.
And is that the difference between layoff and furlough?
The difference between layoff and furlough. Furlough means you still pretty much have your job, and your company will no contest on any unemployment claim filed against them.
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less, I look at it as a good faith by a company. The company believes in you, they're going to help you, and in the long run, they're saying, hey, sorry, we had to do what we had to do, but from the consulting side of the business is we're all here to make money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes you have to cut a few corners to bring that profit level back to where it needs to be.
So how do the cooks work in the kitchen? What if you have more than one cook? How do they stay 6 feet apart? How does that work?
That's funny you ask that. I've heard of some rumors of people getting tape measures and putting painter's tape on the ground and drawing, you know, 2x2 boxes and saying, you stay here and you stay there and you stay here, you stay there. And then there's some people that just, they're requiring their staff to wear long sleeves, double gloving, wearing a ball cap plus a hairnet to just reduce any extra of anything. Just trying to keep their employees safe also along with their guests that come and visit. Because you don't, and they're, I mean, gloves, whew, whoever owns a glove company, you are loving life right now.
Yeah, they are.
Glove company, I mean, when the restaurant industry, when I was there, we would, on average, at one of my Bob Evans restaurants, we'd order 2 to 3 cases of gloves a week. And I guarantee you they're probably up where around 4 to 7 cases a week right now.
Right. Hey, what is the practice on taking the glove on and off? You're kind of in the business. I see people put the gloves on, they get in their car, they drive, they go to the store, they get all the packages, they put the packages in the car, they put their hands back on the steering wheel with the same gloves and drive home, and then, oh, I better take the gloves off, and then they grab the packages and take them into the house. I mean,
the best practice I could offer anybody with that is only wear your gloves in the store. Before you go in the store, get your hands wiped down with some hand sanitizer. Make sure your hands are clean with a little bit of hand sanitizer. Put a clean, new, clean glove on. Go into the store. Do what you have to do. When you return to your vehicle, yes, you're going to have to open your door. Yes, you're going to have to put your hand on your keys. Mm-hmm. Having a wipe, an antiseptic wipe nearby, maybe a little hand, you put a little drop of hand sanitizer and wipe your keys, you know, rub it on your door handle where you pull your door shut real quick. Don't worry about the outside when you wash your car later that week, it'll take care of it. But and then when taking the glove off, it is best to use your index finger and your thumb to roll the glove up, pull the bottom part of the glove over your thumb on the other hand. Mm-hmm. Then take your thumb and reach under the other glove on the other hand and roll up until the fingers are completely fully extended, and then you can roll the other side.
Yeah, you could sort of roll it one into the other.
Yes,
right?
You're going to roll them one into another, and I would just stuff them in your door. And then when you get home, either grab a paper towel or put another single glove on and just grab them out and take them to a dumpster or your trash can and throw them away. Mm. But definitely don't get back in your car and drive home with them on. Yeah. All you're going to do is
defeats the purpose.
You get back in the car with no gloves on, is you got the disease right back on your hands or whatever it is.
So are all the waiters and waitresses and everyone working in the restaurant required to wear the face mask, or do they pull it down over their nose like some people do?
Many companies are requiring their employees now to wear the face mask, especially the ones that are interacting with the guests out in the dining room. That is the, you know, that's your, I guess you could call it your high risk area in the restaurant.
Sure.
That's the highest peak where you could have the interaction with someone that has it, or you could drop it to somebody. So face mask, yes. Don't pull it down over your nose. It defeats the purpose.
I know.
I've gone and done a couple of carryouts of people that I know in the industry at their big corporate chains, and I've seen the employees come out with the face mask hanging down around the nose, and I'm just thinking like, well, that's a mark against you.
So much for that working.
You know, I mean, even though the corporations are being a little lenient with customer service right now and guest service and allowing the guests to have their way with things, they still are, you know, taking their feedback from their guests very seriously about everything that goes on in the restaurant, even during just the carryout times. Because this is the most pivotal point in I think any successful restaurant is how you handle this type of pandemic. If you handle it to the point that you go above and beyond for your guest, you have shown them that your employees don't have time to lean. They want to keep it clean, so the next time they come back to the restaurant, they know when you reopen, you can come and enjoy the atmosphere, have your favorite drink, watch the ball game. You know that you're in a clean environment.
Yep. What do they say? If you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Especially now with COVID-19 and those restaurants are down. I've actually talked to a friend of mine, and he says they've actually now have a some managers have been disassembling the dining rooms.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
And cleaning the booths and scrubbing them down and scrubbing the walls. They're not just in there making food, they're sectioning off parts of the restaurant at night after it closes to clean and scrub and sanitize the walls for when everybody returns.
Yep. Well, last Monday, the Palm Beach County just opened up the restaurants to whatever capacity they have deemed.
25%.
25%. And I slipped into, I believe it was the Olive Garden, no plug intended, and every other table had a big X on it, and this table is cleared, and waitresses had their face mask on, and you couldn't tell if they were smiling, but it was an okay experience, and that's, I'm not trying to say anything good or bad about Olive Garden. I also went to Sonny's Barbecue, and they had the same thing. Every other table was crossed off, and you sort of just have to put up with what's going on, because that's what's going on.
It's the world we live in right now. It's what we're having to go through with this pandemic of COVID-19. And in a lot of the restaurants, what they're trying to do is, there's an old saying is, at when I was with Yum Brands, I worked for Pizza Hut, and they said, you must answer the phone with a smile in your voice.
Yeah.
And for the people listening, if you don't think it's possible, call your local pizzeria, call your local restaurant, and you can tell the difference when someone is smiling, talking to you over the phone, and when someone answers the phone, just to answer the phone.
Yeah. Reminds me of Christina at the Robes Law Group. She always comes on with a happy good afternoon. Well, Robert Martin, you have been a super guest. I appreciate you taking your time and coming in and helping us out. Hey, it's all in how we live, and it's good to have advice from someone who knows.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Al. I really appreciate you letting me come on the show. And, you know, just remember, when you're out there, wash your hands. If you don't have access to hand sanitizer, there's nothing wrong with carrying a little bit of soap, a little bit of soap in a bottle. When you go into a dining room restaurant, you at least know that the soap coming out of the bottle is clean.
Have a question about restaurant management? Call the Robes Law Group right now. They'll put you in touch with the one and only Robert Martin. 561-570-5700. When we return, Rick and I have a list of satisfied Robes clients that would like to share their message with the world. Don't go back. We'll be right away. Personal injury attorneys regularly inundate the airwaves with money-making rants, guaranteeing their clients huge settlements. Call now is their air horn. We make money only if you do is tattooed on their foreheads. Had enough? The Robes Law Group offers sound legal guidance and direction. They work hard for you because it's the right thing to do. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law Today. I'm still Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, here with Rick Snyder. Rick,
yes.
Do we have some Robes happy clients?
We have some Robes happy clients.
Or people. I like to call them happy people.
Absolutely. Yeah. They may not have been happy when they walked into the Robes Law office, but once they got through their situation, these are happy people. For example, Jax Krat DeSleets, Robes Law Group is highly recommended. In fact, I created a Gmail account so I could leave a Google review in hopes that any reader will stop looking around for advice after an accident and just call Robes Law Group.
Thanks, Jack. We appreciate the great words.
Now, these are testimonials from Robes clients. I was in a car accident, resulted in the need for surgery even after many chiropractic appointments. Throughout that was a scary and traumatic experience. The Robes Law Group was there for me the whole way, from coming to meet with me at my house when my car was total to helping me connect with the most qualified specialist in town. They treated me like family. The entire group at Robes was concerned, caring, and professional. I was always able to speak with somebody when I called the office, kept abreast of my case, and felt a part of the entire process. My case was settled swiftly and to my satisfaction, even better than expected. And just to prove the testimonials don't have to be long to be good, Richard M. Davidson says, Mr. Robes and his team are very caring, honest, meticulous, and smart with how they handle every aspect of their business.
And where do we get all these happy people from?
These testimonials come from the Robes Law Group Facebook page.
Absolutely, and I believe that's facebook.com/Robes Law Group. Coming up on the second half of the show, our coronavirus panel joins us with a rundown of the good, the bad, and the ugly side of the shutdown. Then in our Corona Legal segment, Jonathan Lewis has an update on business closures. Your Corona Legal segment is just a few moments away. But right now, it's time for all the news that maybe shouldn't be news, brought to you by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach. Download their smartphone app by texting the word ROBES, that's ROBES, to 474747. Rick Snyder, our show producer, has a Gomer pile of Phil Silvers to share with us. Rick, what's going on in the world of lawlessness?
Well, we've always got plenty of that kind of news. During Governor Ron DeSantis' reopened Florida task force meetings in April, businesses sought assurances that if they reopen in accordance with state and federal guidelines, they would not be sued if patrons and workers contracted COVID-19. Among those seeking blanket immunity include operators of 3,800 Florida nursing homes and assisted living facilities that house about 150,000 elderly residents and long-term care patients. Operators said it would be unfair to be held legally liable when they've been hamstrung by shortages of testing and personal protective equipment amid constantly changing state and federal guidelines. The Florida Healthcare Association, which represents 691 nursing homes that house 71,000 residents statewide, has requested sovereign immunity for facilities and workers. However, the Florida Life Care Residents Association, which represents 14,000 nursing home and assisted living facility residents, sent a letter to DeSantis, said granting blanket immunity to nursing homes and assisted living facilities would not be a prudent decision. As of Wednesday, 482 nursing homes and assisted living facilities have reported 1,600 COVID-19 positive residents and 1,804 positive staff members. As of Wednesday, nursing homes and assisted living facilities have reported over 1,600 COVID-19 positive residents and 1,800 positive staff members. The 815 deaths among nursing home and assisted living facility residents reported Thursday accounts of 43% of the state's 1,875 COVID-19 deaths. A Florida traffic law that governs the visibility of license plates might be a bit too extreme, according to 4th District Court of Appeal Judge Melanie May, who in a special concurrence urged legislators to review it. May wrote that the wording of the statute can result in some police officers making absurd traffic stops over license plate rims or frames that obscure the words MyFlorida.com or Sunshine State. But May noted that everyone knows phrases such as the Sunshine State are there, and they don't help police identify drivers. Even if they weren't covered by a frame, the judge noted they're probably not visible from 100 feet away. The statute can therefore put courts in a pickle, according to the ruling. We and other districts have adhered to the established legal principle that statutes should not be read to reach absurd results, and yet we must apply a statute by its plain meaning. I venture to say that more than 50% of the vehicles in the state have license plate frames on them, May wrote. By suggesting that common words that everyone knows exist on the top and bottom of a plate provide a basis for a traffic stop when the frame covers part of that lettering, leading to an absurd result. May pointed to State versus St. Jean, a 23-year-old case in which the 5th DCA found it didn't matter that the county name on a driver's license plate wasn't plainly visible. Though the statute has been tweaked twice since then, May said the issue still remains. As long as the vanity numbers or letters can be read, they're more concerned with the names at the top, Florida.com, Sunshine State. That has no way can you be identified because your plate says Sunshine State. Florida businesses are returning to work with restrictions, but State Supreme Court Chief Justice Charles Kennedy says it's too early to predict when the Florida courts will be fully operational. I extended the prohibition on jury trial proceedings through early July, but I can't tell you that in early July we'll go back to jury trials, Kennedy said in a news release published by the Florida Bar. He said the inability to hold jury trials is creating a case backlog that will have to be addressed. Reopening likely will be temporary and regional. Kennedy said he wants to make sure the courts are prepared for any resurgence of the pandemic after the initial rate of infection levels off. Filing fees that pay for most court operations have fallen significantly, but they're climbing again, and there should be enough reserves in a state trust fund to last the fiscal year. Alan, that's all the news that fits from the Robes Law Group newsroom.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida.
All right, we have a panel of super guests with us today, and they are here to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly effects of the coronavirus pandemic. So let's get right to it. Attorney Thomas A. Robes, how has the coronavirus affected personal injury claims and medical procedures in Palm Beach County?
Well, from the patient standpoint, the client standpoint, the medical care and treatment is moving along to the best of their ability. Obviously, we've discussed that the elective treatments have pretty much all stopped during this period of time. So if we have clients who had elective procedures that were recommended or scheduled, those have obviously been paused. A lot of the doctors are participating in telemedicine. A lot of the doctors have communicated to us that they are continuing operations, obviously under, the approved guidelines, by the CDC and whatnot, so they can see their patients. But, everybody else, it's been impacted, really the patients and the clients, each one is a unique story, but they're doing the best they can as far as that goes. So that has definitely changed. And then just from the claims handling standpoint, there's been the logistical issues of offices being displaced, adjusters, attorneys, the parties that are involved on the legal side of the claim, everybody getting their footing underneath them in this new environment. We've talked about the court systems. There's been some, logistical issues and delays involved with that. But I think it's going, for the short term, it's been disruptive. But I think in the long term, I think it's going to be a relative blip on the radar, not to diminish the suffering that everybody's having because of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm just saying specifically to the personal injury claims, I think it's, a temporary change in environment, but, hopefully when, we're able to get back to our normal days of living, I think that everything will pretty much fall back into place as it was before.
Okay, Tom, well, that covers the private law sector, but what about government law? Attorney Eric Romano, what has the coronavirus done to disrupt or obfuscate our courts and the legal system?
Just like everything else in America right now, the courts are severely impacted by this. The courts have largely shut down, at least for in-person operations. I know key personnel are there. We are monitoring the situation closely. Our Supreme Court has issued a number of administrative orders. The local courts around the state are following suit. Judges are working extremely hard along with their administrative staff to try to keep the courthouse doors open, even if virtually. But in terms of managing the business of the courts, they're still trying to do everything that they can, either by phone or video. And then those things that can only be done in person, they're doing it with limited personnel as necessary.
What if I have a pending speeding ticket? Should I just throw that into the circular file or wait until the cops knock on my door?
No, but I would say do not just go show up at the courthouse, because there's a good chance they're not going to let you in. If you've got a case going on or are concerned about a pending legal matter, I would say call to the courthouse first, talk to your attorney, figure out if you need to be there or if alternative arrangements are being made.
Mm-hmm. All right, Thomas Robes, adding to Eric's assessment of the limited courtroom activities, are personal injury cases being held up by the courts due to the coronavirus?
You know, it's interesting. I thought I read somewhere that, with the criminal cases, you know, they have a whole different, because there's a lot of those are essential. You know, they are, from what I understand, they are following the guidelines that are necessary. But for the type of cases that we handle, we're able to do everything virtually. And that's what the courts are requiring, through either teleconference, court calls, Zoom, and whatnot. And the jury trials are suspended. So all of our court hearings have been teleconference or video conference.
Okay. Attorney Eric Cohen, question for you. Hospitals are at the center of the corona pandemic. During this week's newscast, Rick mentioned businesses were seeking blanket immunity during the pandemic. We already know some hospitals are immune from damages because of sovereign immunity. If a hospital injures you, what's your recourse? And is it okay to call the hospital and ask if they have sovereign immunity?
Absolutely. Are you a sovereign hospital? Do you, are you a county facility? And they have to, you know, tell you the truth. They do not, however, put it on any of their paperwork. They do not have you sign any consent form. I'm not required to have you sign a consent form. You walk in blind, and then later on, God forbid something happens,
right,
they tell you, oh, we're sorry, but...
We're sovereign. Yeah. Ah, so that's not uncommon. Oh, who thinks of that, right? That's why we have this radio show, folks. Listen to what we're saying here. This guy knows what he's talking about. Don't be afraid to call the hospital up and ask them, are you a sovereign hospital? And what now, can you go back to the doctor and say, hey, that's not a sovereign hospital, or it is. I don't want to go there.
Yes. As long as the doctor has privileges at other hospitals, you can. If he doesn't, go to a different doctor.
Uh-huh. Are most county hospitals sovereign?
Yes. There are less in Palm Beach than there are in Broward and Dade.
Right.
Broward and Dade have a huge number of them. And Jackson Memorial, which is the University of Miami. So you have University of Miami Doctors,
right,
which is a private school, and you have Jackson Memorial, which has been granted sovereign immunity. And now what the legislature has done in recent years is they've taken that sovereign immunity and spread it to the University of Miami and say that those doctors who are insured by the University of Miami, you can't sue them either. And we're fighting that in the courts, but we're fighting an uphill battle with these courts.
Just as an off thought, do you think maybe their insurance might be a little less expensive if they are a sovereign immune?
They have none.
So that's why, yeah, that's why they're doing it, right?
Right.
Okay, good, good. Thomas A. Robes, how about elective surgeries? With hospitals refusing to perform those operations, what could we do?
These elective surgeries that for the most part have been put on hold based on the prioritization of medical care, you know, at the hospitals, you know, the need for the staff and the equipment, the ventilators and whatnot. But there has been a lot of discussion, and you've seen it in newspaper articles and whatnot of, well, people who have these procedures that are termed elective, but are going to become necessary at some point. And by pushing these elective procedures, you know, down the road a little bit, how is that going to affect the outcome of the patient if they could have had the procedure earlier in time compared to having it delayed based on the inability to undergo elective medical treatment? Obviously, we're in the midst of it. So, the book is still being written, but, you know, all you can do is go on the internet and you'll find those stories about, you know, when are we going to transition into a period of time when these elective procedures can go forward? I know that there's already been discussion at the governmental level here in the state of Florida about moving forward with those types of medical procedures so that the population can get the medical care and treatment that they need to get better, unrelated to COVID-19 pandemics, unrelated to motor vehicle crashes, just in general, like, you know, elective heart surgery being one.
All right, Gary, back to you. The medical profession is under tremendous strain right now. Even though we are all stressed out, it wouldn't be very nice to take out our frustrations on our first responders, would it?
Well, I absolutely don't beat up on doctors. They provide an incredible service.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get along without them, especially in today's world. And they put their lives at risk, as they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
But beating up on doctors or hospitals does no good because most of them try to do a great job.
Okay. All right. So, Eric Romano, a question for you. How does one qualify as a sovereign immune? I mean, how nice would that be? Or better yet, where or how did sovereign immunity begin?
Well, it's a good question. And sovereign immunity actually goes back to the long before this country was founded, but basically is a concept meaning the king can do no wrong. So sovereign immunity, at least the way it works in Florida, is it basically creates an immunity in favor of the government. So if the government, a government employee, a government agency, causes harm or injury to one of our citizens, there are severe limits in place that apply to that citizen's claim against the government. So there's a cap on the amount of money you can recover from the government. There are additional procedural hurdles in place that make it more and more difficult to sue the government. There are additional notice requirements that you have to comply with before you can file a claim against the government. So it is, as a practical matter, exceptionally difficult to bring an injury or wrongful death claim against the government in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the shutdown stifles some industries and elevates others. I guess it depends on who defines what's essential and what is not. Thomas A. Robes, we'll go to you next. How is the Robes Law Group dealing with the shutdown, and what did you do to prepare for it?
Well, you know, I appreciate the question. And first, you know, I hope everybody in the listening audience is healthy and safe. At the firm, you know, we anticipated that there was going to be drastic changes in how business was going to be conducted and how our community was going to operate. So prior to the stay-at-home order, we already put in place a remote environment for our employees and our staff so that we'd be able to properly service our clients. So fortunately for us, we've been able to continue representing our clients in the community without missing a beat. You know, our staff is working in a remote environment. Through technology and preparation, we've been able to continue business as usual as much as possible. And on a personal note, I'm very happy to report that, you know, everybody in our office to date is healthy and safe. So that's, you know, a blessing for all of us.
Okay, Tom, I believe that fits the Robes Law Group motto: be aware and be prepared. Eric, earlier you said you can't sue the king. Do you think there should be redress for those injured by our government?
The government exists with one primary purpose, and that is to protect its citizens. What better way to protect your citizens than to provide financial recourse to them when you are the ones responsible for harming them? So we hear about a lot of high-profile cases in the news, often regarding or involving law enforcement agencies.
Right.
That is often where these claims come from. But if you think of the number of government employees we have around the state that are out on the roads handling state business,
that's right,
causing car accidents, we've seen that many times. Part of what we do every year in Tallahassee is advocate for positive legislative changes to address unfair laws like the sovereign immunity law. That was one of the legislation ideas that we had supported very aggressively this year. I expect we will come back and try to have that discussion again in Tallahassee next year in the hopes that we can improve the sovereign immunity law to better protect citizens that are harmed by our government.
Gentlemen, this has been a most interesting roundtable. Thomas A. Robes, Gary Cohen, and Eric Romano, thank you so much for joining us today for the good, the bad, and the ugly side of the coronavirus. Have a question about personal injury? Call the Robes Law Group right now, 561-570-5700, or you may visit their website at robeslawgroup.com. Hey, Rick, you've heard of the crash test dummies, haven't you? Okay, better fasten them up, because this is the time when we say, hey folks, listen to this. When you hear that sound, something bad is about to happen.
Good afternoon, this is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
And that's the sound of confidence. Confidence in knowing you have selected the right team to represent you in your hour of need. The Department of Transportation tells us more than 5 million crashes occur every year. That's more than 13,600 accidents every single day, every day. So be aware of...
And remember, when you need legal representation, call the good folks at Robes Law Group at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or better yet, download the Robes Law Group app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES to 474747.
This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law. Today, I'm Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, with our show producer, Rick Snyder, with a message for those afflicted with anthropophobia. If you have a fear of people or a fear of crowded places, then you really need to grab your smartphone. If you're not driving, text the word ROBES, that's R-O-B-E-S, to 474747 and download the ROBES Law Group app and open it. It's a beautiful app. There's many options. You can listen to the show or contact the office 24/7, 365. Besides, the smart folks over at the Robes Law Group give you peace of mind knowing that legal representation is in the palm of your hand. Just a friendly reminder, when you hire Robes from the app, you receive a $1,000 fee credit when your case is settled. That's $1,000 just for hiring Robes from the app. Remember, text the word ROBES to 474747. Got it? Get it? Problem solved.
Millions of Americans have joined together to halt the spread of this horrible disease. Our experts and scientists report that our strategy to slow the spread has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Our team of experts now agrees that we can begin the next front in our war, which we are calling Opening Up America Again.
What happens when the coronavirus shutdown hits the legal community head on? Lifestyles in the Law today presents Corona Legal. The last word settles the case. Joining us on the phone right now is attorney Jonathan Lewis. He is a partner and shareholder at Jonathan Lewis Law of Boca Raton. They specialize in business and real estate law. Jonathan, welcome to Lifestyles in the Law today.
Thank you. Good to be here. How are you?
We're doing good. The virus is still with us. We spoke a little bit last week about force majeure, but let me ask you this. Is this COVID pandemic a force majeure event, or is it classified as something else?
That's a great question. You know, the words COVID and pandemic have never really been included in a force majeure clause. The overall term of act of God, which usually means hurricane or natural disaster, have usually been used in a force majeure clause. And so the term of pandemic is a gray area of whether it would constitute a force majeure. It definitely is a business interruption.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely interrupted everything. Hey, what situations have you seen where this has happened before? I don't think it's ever happened, ever.
Well, not a pandemic, at least in the United States. Of course, you know, we've seen the pandemics, not pandemic, but we've seen this type of viruses in Asia. But as far as in the United States, we haven't really seen an interruption that includes a virus. Usually the force majeure has to do with a tornado or floods or hurricanes in Florida and throughout the southeast, sometimes the northeast. But we've never seen anything like this.
Force majeure, that's a French word, right? That comes from the language of France. And what do you know what that means?
Well, there's a lot of Latin in legal terms, and it usually means a business interruption. You know, that's outside of someone's control. And so it's usually interpreted as a temporary interruption of a business, which is outside of the control of the business owner. And so usually it says in most contracts that if there's a business interruption that's outside of your control, after 30 days, the business owner can terminate the contract. And so it's becoming a much bigger business interruption, hence why we see the government trying to push for the economy to open up.
I agree. Are investors still investing in companies with this economy, or are they sort of laying by the side to see what happens?
Well, when everything was going south with the COVID coming in, and we saw what was going on in Italy, a lot of investors and people with their stocks, a lot of people liquidated their stocks, so they changed it over to a cash position. And then they're taking it. So there's a lot of cash on the sidelines right now. Hence, we'll see and we'll continue to see more private equity, more hedge fund activity, and roll-ups. I mean, you even had the other day where finally Apple's starting to make some strategic acquisitions. Facebook made a multi-billion-dollar acquisition in India the other day, and hence that's why you see their stock price going up. But you know, more and more, you'll see the deal activity. And so, yes, the answer is that a lot of investors are investing, looking for the right acquisitions, and they'll see more and more of that on the business side, on the real property, the commercial property side, which still the commercial property still there's going to be a shakeout period, and a huge adjustment on the commercial spaces.
Well, it sounds like there's a positive thing at the end of the tunnel there. Instead of a light, there's a positive thing at the end of the tunnel, and we're happy for that. Jonathan Lewis, thank you for joining us today and enlightening us on such a difficult subject. You are the man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, what will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Have you ever heard the saying, no risk, no reward? It's all about the risk, isn't it? Every time you grab your car keys, you are preparing to drive into the risk field. There are thousands of factors which determine the amount of your risk. Traffic, weather conditions, distractions, or time restrictions, but there is a risk. The best part is you get to determine the degree of risk you're willing to take. But when those conditions or restrictions get the best of you, that's when your heartaches begin. That's why Robes Law Group developed a handy wallet about the size of a number 10 envelope that fits perfectly in the glove box of your car. The wallet has contact numbers, website, and texting information, plus a comprehensive list of what to do in case you are involved in an accident. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident could determine the outcome of your case. Want a free Robes wallet? Call right now, 561-570-5700, and ask Christina to send you a Robes glove box wallet, and the information within should ease the pain of an unfortunate experience. It can't hurt to have a backup of your hard drive, an extra memory stick, and a relationship with a lawyer who knows what he's doing. Looking for the best outcome? Join the list of satisfied Robes clients and call the good folks at Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700, or visit them at their website, robeslawgroup.com. What can you do in 3 seconds while driving your car? You could look into the mirror for that green thing that's stuck in your teeth, answer your cell phone. You could miss a stop sign, run a red light, or worse. If you commit just one of those distractions and the unthinkable happens, what would be the value of those 3 seconds? In these challenging times, the Robes Law Group wishes you and your family all the best. We will conquer this virus because it's what America does. Stay well and be prepared. Coming up on next week's show, attorney Justin Lin is with us. He leads the pack when it comes to out-of-state personal injury claims. He's just not out of state, and he's not out of mind. Justin Lin, next week. We would like to thank you for joining us every Saturday. Your company is appreciated. Tell your good-hearted friends about the show. Any friend of yours is certainly a friend of ours. Listen to Lifestyles in the Law today every Saturday for the latest legal and statutory rulings and decisions. We hope our mission was successful and your time with us was enjoyable, fun, and tax-free. The show is underwritten by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach and originates from a virus-free studio in West Palm Beach, Florida. Executive producer John Mitchell, show producer Rick Snyder, audio engineer John Nutter, and I'm your host, Alan Mason. Sneeze you next week.